so may it be that we, your people, will be your light into this dark world. So as we stand in your presence, as we stand in the name of Jesus Christ, may your word so shine out of us that we will be that light on the hill in this part of the city. Lord, may we live for you, knowing that apart from you, we are nothing. So speak to us today, Lord. Speak into our hearts. Dispel, remove, rub out every lie, every doubt that our commitment to you may be full and total. We ask in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, amen. Praise God. Please be seated. Congratulations, Sean. Praise God. Every time we see a brother or sister go through the waters of baptism, may we be reminded of the day when we talk about Jesus, of that day when we recognize that there was sin in our lives and that that sin blocked us, excluded us, closed the door to us entering into God's presence, entering into life eternal, being delivered out of the clutches of Satan, and so that we may be able to rise up into the love of the Father. And as we are reminded of where we were when we first began, so may we be reminded that faith in Jesus Christ is a journey. As long as we are upon the face of this earth, it is a fight of faith. And the true disciples of Jesus Christ are those who will fight the good fight of faith. So let us turn to the Word of God for this morning. It is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll begin with verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Where we fix our spiritual eyes determines our eternal destiny. You hear that? Where we fix our spiritual eyes determines our eternal destiny. If you fix your eyes on the things of this world, you will end up with this world and go in the flames and fire that will destroy this earth. But if you fix your eyes on the things of God, the things that are eternal, then you will be eternally with God. Today I'm talking about living by faith. And living by faith includes more than just saying, hallelujah, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Here the scripture reminds us why we need to live by faith. It begins by saying there is a power in the spoken word. It says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken with that same spirit of faith, with that same attitude of faith. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was quoting Psalm 116, verse 10. Psalm 116, verse 10 says, exactly as what Paul had mentioned there, verse 10 says, I believe, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. Here it says, whatever the scripture says, which is authored by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, we should have the same attitude as what God says. In other words, learn to say what God says. Why, you may ask, should I say what God says? If you know who God is, such was God's power that he only need to speak and things come into existence. Amen? Things did not evolve from a dust, you became a ball became an earth became something else. God simply released the power of his word, and what was non-existent came into existence. Such is the power of God's word. And we who confess Christ, we who have the Spirit of Christ in us, should have the same attitude of faith that says, if God says it, I'm going to believe it. And because you believe it, you release the power of God's word that is inside the word of God. Therefore, we believe and so we speak. That is why when you come to church, when you hear the word of God, when you agree, say, yes, amen, you release the power of God's word into your life. As many as are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And what do? To which we say the amen. And so, here we are told, because we believe, we speak. We have the same attitude. We say what God says. This is what confession is. Homologia, to confess, is to say the same word that God says. Then, because you believe what God says, you will see what God will see. Because it is the word of God. And God backs his word. If the word of God is in you, he will back you. If the word of God is not in you, it doesn't matter what you think. It's all wishful thinking. Hello? And so, verse 14 tells us, because we know, say, I know, my Savior lives. Yes, he died on a Friday, but he rose on a Sunday. Every time we come to church, every time we gather together with brothers and sisters, we should remind ourselves, I know that my Savior lives. Because he lives, I therefore shall live. Then we will remind ourselves regularly not to look upon the things of this world, which will one day pass away. They are momentary. They are temporary. But the things of God shall be eternal. So verse 14 says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with him. Whoever confesses Christ, on the last day, though we die upon this earth bodily, yet we shall rise up and live eternally. This is the good news. We are born twice and we only die once, right? We are born by our mother and we are born by the Holy Spirit. We are born twice and we only die once in the body. Those who do not know Jesus Christ, they are born once by the mother and they die twice, physically, and eternally. And so here it says, we know, here is our confession. Every day we remind ourselves, I know my Savior lives. That's why later on you find in verses 10 and 11, it says, everywhere we go, we carry with us the dying of our Lord Jesus, so that the life of the Lord Jesus may be seen through us. If Christ is in you, may it be such that others can see Christ in you. Amen? You live in such a way that his light shines through. Just a short while ago, we sang, shine, Jesus, shine. Here is a call for the light of Jesus Christ to shine through his people. Many confess Christ, but they do not shine for him. Instead, they drag his name through the mud. Hello? When you drag his name through the mud, you don't shine anything. For we know, Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God and powerfully declared to be the Son of God, so we shall rise with Christ and be powerfully declared that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And Romans 8 tells us there's a world and the entire creation is waiting for the revelation, for the manifestation of His people. It's up to us. The entire creation is waiting for us to rise up and to shine and to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we are reminded that unless all of us make that commitment that I have, like Paul did, I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Until we do that, we will not be able to shine that light because too much of the world is around us that hides the light of God from the world to see. So here Paul says, I know, we know, may we daily remind ourselves, we know to whom we belong. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are the sheep of His pasture. And so we enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. We come into God's presence with thanksgiving and praise. We come here not to serve ourselves. We come here to shine the light for the world to see. Remember what we're talking about? Living by faith so that we may bring glory to God our Father. And then verse 15 tells us, when we praise our Lord, when we declare our faith in God, it's not because we have a God who's so insecure, He needs to be soothed and patted and reassured, oh, you are God, don't be afraid. All our praise and worship of God is not for God's benefit. For whose benefit? Look at the person next to you and say, it's for your benefit. Some people think, oh, if I don't go to God, poor guy, nobody will worship Him. I do Him a favor. Some people go to church thinking they're doing God a favor. They're doing the church a favor. They fail to realize when we come to church, it is for our own benefit. The favor of God comes upon us when we come into His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you want to have the pleasures of life, if you want to have the joy of life, come into the presence of God who gives life. And so here we're reminded in verse 15, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. As we live pleasing to the Father, as we live confessing our faith to the Father, as we fight the good fight of faith and live by faith and not by our reasoning, not by the ways of the world, not by the pressures of the world, we discover that it is to our benefit. And as we live in a life where our focus is on God and our thanksgiving and praise is towards God, what happens? It causes more and more people to come to believe in the God, because they can see that we have something that they do not have. We must live in such a way, because of our faith in Christ, that people will see that we have something precious that they don't have, and that the world will not be able to give them. Then when they come to know this God, as more and more people confess Jesus Christ, more and more people will give praises to our Father who is in heaven. Amen? So what should we do? Be used by God. Be His instruments. Be His mouthpiece to speak His good news so that more people can be brought out of darkness and be brought into His marvelous light, into His glorious light, into His wonderful light. For what reason? Anyone know your scriptures? So that we may declare the praises of Him. Amen? Who called us out of darkness and into His glorious light. We are saved for a purpose. We are saved to give glory to God the Father. We are not saved so that we can sit in church on Sunday and then Monday to Saturdays live the same old life as before we became a Christian. That is why once we confess Christ, we enter into a new culture. It's not a Chinese culture, Japanese culture, Nepalese culture, Asian culture, Australian culture, or African culture. What do we enter into? We enter into the culture of the kingdom of God. All this is for your benefit, verse 15 says, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. May praise and thanksgiving overflow out of NLCC into the surrounding suburbs of this place. We must be a bit more concrete in our thinking. Don't waffle and say, oh, I'm so heavenly minded, that we are of no earthly use. If you have heaven on your mind, you'll be of great blessing to the people on this earth. So may it be such that the way we come together, the way we love one another, the way we create a community of faith, the way we come together and develop the sense of belonging, be such that people will want to know the God that we believe in. And then as more and more people know God, then more and more people then bring praises to our God, thanksgiving to our God. And remember, all this is not because we are doing good works. Amen? All this is out of the grace of God. By His grace we were saved. Is that right? So here it says that the grace that is reaching more and more people. When we serve God, we should say, oh Lord, thank you for this wonderful privilege. Don't say, "Look, wow, Lord, see I've done so much for you. 25 now, Lord, heading towards 30 points. And soon I'll be reaching 50. And we start to calculate the amount of works that we do. Don't be calculating. It's all of grace. And then, Verse 16 to 18 then tells us how we are to live this faith. To confess Christ is to be a witness for Christ, right? To confess Christ is to say, I belong to Jesus Christ. Once I was under the control of the devil, now I'm under the control of the Son of God, the Messiah. He's my Lord, He's my God, He's my Master. That is what it means to call ourselves a Christian. Amen? To call ourselves a Christian is to say, I am under the name of Jesus Christ. I bear His name. I carry His name. And then it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Sometimes, as we confess Christ, as we live for Christ, the moment we do that, what do we face? We face the enemy. We face the opposition. The enemy, the devil, will try everything he can to trip us, to stumble us, so that we will not be a good and faithful witness. His hope is that after a while we give up and turn back. But for us who are true disciples, there will be no turning back. Amen? No turning back. Because Paul says, do not lose heart. To lose heart is to give up. That's a simple modern day language. Right? To lose heart is to give up. No, we're not going to give up. Why? Because we looked unto Jesus. We remembered because He lives. Therefore, we have life. Apart from Him, there is no life. You must be absolutely convinced of that. There's no third way. Either you are in Christ or you are outside of Christ. If you are in Christ, you have eternal life. You're outside of Christ, you're outside of eternal life. There's no third way. And so it says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, year by year, we may not be as strong as before. The knees may not be able to stand the standing up as long as before. From black hair, we return to gray hair. And then from plenty of hair, there comes no hair. From white shining teeth, we are now white shining plastic. Though we are outwardly wearing away, wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What does that mean? Each day we are made new. Amen? So every day I am made new. So don't say, I'm old, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, I'm young, I can't do this, I can't do that. Once upon a time, you were young and you couldn't, but today you are a new person, you can. Amen? No matter young or old, we can say, I can. Shall we say together, I can. Do all things in Christ who gives me strength. So many people give themselves excuses for not doing what God tells them to do. Why? Because they don't believe in the scripture. The scripture says you are being made new day by day. By the way, we only live one day at a time, according to this passage. You don't live 2 days at a time. Neither do you live one life in 2 days. You say, half today, half tomorrow. Lord, I spare my energy for tomorrow. It is day by day. If you don't live it for today, you may not have tomorrow, brother friend. You will live that life day by day. Each and every day, give of your best to the Lord. And then he says, well, if you're useful for me in your kingdom, in my kingdom, I give you a new agenda. As you work on God's agenda, there's purpose and meaning. If you don't live for anything, then you're wasting your time. No wonder you say life is boring. What's the next Netflix picture? What's the next movie in the cinema? You're all looking for entertainment. Why? Because your life has no meaning. When we seek for entertainment, it's because we do not know what evangelism is all about. Here it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we shall not give up. Even though the enemy comes against us like a flood, we shall expect the Holy Spirit to come like a banner over us. You know, you probably have heard about that internationally famous, our top rugby star, Israel Folau. Because he dares to stand upon his faith and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, because he dares to quote a verse of scripture, the world is against him, threatens to destroy his career, rip up his $4 million contract. He's not afraid of losing his $4 million contract. He's more concerned about holding on to his faith in Jesus Christ and standing firm in Christ, because in Christ is eternal life. Now, many of us don't have to worry about $4 million challenges. All right? But yet the test is still the same. Will you be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ when you are at school, when you are at uni, when you are at work, when you're talking to your neighbors, when you're on the streets, when you're doing your shopping in the supermarket? Will the world be able to see that you are a different kind of person, that you are different from the rest of the world? That is when we shine the light of Jesus Christ in us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Do not be afraid to stand up and declare by the way you live. Now, oftentimes, we do a lot of speaking, but our lives cancel out whatever we say. Hello? Don't say, I'm a Christian, but live in such a way that people say, oh my goodness, another of those people. We should live in such a way that they say, wow, this person, so nice, so kind, so gentle, so forgiving, and so honest. I gave them $5 extra, and they probably came back and said, look, you gave me $5 extra. We are people of integrity. We are people who are holy. And they can see that we are different. Then they say, I wonder if this person is a Christian. Ah, now we're shining the light of God. So it says, do not lose heart. When we make a commitment to serve God, very often we are afraid of our commitment. What if I lose out? What if I serve God and then the people don't appreciate me? What if I can't do this? What if I can't do that? So many what ifs. But as they don't say, what if I serve the Lord? Why don't you say, what if I serve the Lord and obey the word of God? Surely God's word is more reliable than the thoughts of what others might say to us. So many Christians are afraid of making a commitment to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. We are afraid when trouble comes. We are afraid, what if disappointment comes? We are afraid, oh, what if this doesn't work or that doesn't work. You see, if we are totally committed to Christ, if we believe that He is our Savior, He is our Master, He is our Lord, He is our God, then no matter what happens, we do not lose heart when trouble comes. We do not lose heart when disappointment comes. Lord, I've been praying for this for 3 years and I thought I was getting it, and just as I was about to get it, it ran away. And we get angry and we get upset. What does it say? It says we do not know our God. Because if we know our God, it's not what we ask for that counts. It is who we are in Christ that counts. Right? Is that right? Being in Christ is the most important thing. Whatever else is in our pocket is secondary. So many people, oh Lord, I pray for ABC and I don't get ABC. I don't think you are real. It's not what you ask for. It's what the Word of God says that God is backing. So do not lose heart when trouble comes. Do not lose heart when disappointments come. Do not lose heart even when misfortune comes. You know, just because we are Christians does not mean that we are immune to the troubles of this earth. If you happen to be living along the coast of East India and you happen to be a Christian, that doesn't mean the cyclone will say, oh, this is a Christian, I'll go next door. We Christians, we are not immune to trouble. We are not immune to misfortune. It's except that the difference is that in the face of trouble, in the face of misfortune, where they have no one else to turn to, we have the Almighty God to turn to because He promised to be our helper. Is that right? He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us and He'll see us through. He didn't say there will be no trouble, but when trouble comes, you have a helper to see you through. We do not lose heart because we have faith that the risen Christ is standing inside us. Earlier we sang the song, right? We know in whom we stand. If we are a Christian, every time you rise up to sing, see yourself standing in Christ and see Christ standing in you. Hello? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you confess Christ, Christ is in you? And you are in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So always see yourself in Christ, standing in Christ, and Christ standing with you. What living by faith is all about, being able to see Christ is always with you. And always faithful to what He has promised. And we do not lose heart because our Lord Jesus said, well in advance, He warned us. Our Lord Jesus said that from now on, the moment you get baptized, it will be a bed of roses? No. By the way, even if you lie on a bed of roses, under the roses are heaps of thorns. Our Lord Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Say, in this world, I will have trouble. Our Lord said so. But take heart. He said, I have overcome the world. Amen? So when troubles come, we are not caught by surprise. Our Lord Jesus warned us, but He said, take heart. In other words, be reminded inside you. He said, I have overcome the world. Therefore, in Christ, we shall overcome the trouble. So right now, if you're facing troubles, if you have come into this sanctuary this morning with problems weighing upon your heart, troubles on your mind, why don't you say right now, Lord Jesus, whatever trouble I have, whatever is disturbing my peace, whatever weight is upon my heart right now, I thank you, Lord Jesus, in you I shall overcome. Because our Lord Jesus said so. And then He said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He speaks about a peace inside us when there are troubles outside of us. Peace is when we are able to hold on to Christ and live by faith in Christ, though the circumstances around us are not too good. There's our pieces. Peace doesn't mean all around me, all is well, there's no more fighting. There may be peace around you, but inside you, you may still be troubled. Our Lord Jesus speaks of a peace that is inside us. And that reminds us, with eyes of faith, Sean, as you remember, see yourself just as you saw yourself in the water, see yourself in Christ. It's an invisible bubble, but it's visible by the eyes of faith. See yourself in Christ, and Christ is standing with you. Christ is standing in you. Some of you, like my generation, may have read of the book In His Steps by John Sheldon or James Sheldon, or one of his, or Richard Sheldon. Anyway, that was a famous book where for 1 month, the people in the church were told, whatever you do, just see Christ standing by your side. So when you go into that movie that's marked 15 MA rated or whatever it is, you say, Lord Jesus, shall we see the movie? Instantly, you say, I think better not. You wake up in the morning and you want to play the computer game, which is X-rated. You say, Lord Jesus, shall we play this computer game? But with Jesus standing by your side, looking at your computer, you say, Lord, I think better not. You switch it off. See Christ by your side. Then you find that the way you live becomes quite, quite different from what it was before. And when we see ourselves in Christ, we then picture ourselves in the presence of God Almighty. God Almighty Himself. When we see that God who is holy, God who is almighty, then we will not allow reason to begin to rule our hearts and minds. When there's a problem, what do we tend to do? We tend to think about it. Click, 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 click. And the more we think, the more the clicks there are. Click, 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 click. Faith says, I'm not going to bother about those things. I'm going to keep my mind on Jesus Christ. He is my peace. He is my master. He is my ruler. He is my maker. He knows what is best for me. Amen? Keep your mind on Christ and do not allow reason to rule. Allow the word of God to speak to you. Our Lord said, I will be your helper. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so when we see ourselves in Christ, we allow faith to rise. In Christ, there is nothing lacking in our body or soul. In Christ, we have enough of everything so that no misfortune can harm us. Amen? In Christ, we have enough of everything so that no misfortune can harm us. Can the misfortune come upon us? Yes. Can it harm us? No. When we are in Christ. Have anyone ever read the little book called The Screwtape Letters? If you haven't read it before, get a hold of it. It's a letter. It's a book, little book written by a very famous Christian who used to be a professor at one of the greatest universities in the world. And he was writing about how the senior devil was teaching the junior devil how to trip and cause Christians to fall. It's a delightful little book, very humorous. And there it says, first you try to prevent the person from doing what the Word of God says and to believing in Jesus Christ. But if the person is able to overcome the tricks of the little devil called Malcolm and ends up being a Christian, then you do what you do is, he teaches a young devil to make it such that either that young Christian becomes so zealous that he has plenty of zeal but no knowledge and therefore does the wrong thing and therefore give up. or does nothing. Everything relying on the brain power. The important thing is, rely on the word of God. Some people say, I'll pray. You know, when you pray, good. But pray according to the word of God. If the word of God says A, B, C, what do you do? Do A, B, C. When you pray, it's a prayer that God, give me the obedience to do A, B, C. Don't say, Lord, do I have to do A, B, C? Can you show me another way? Right? Pray according to the word of God. Sometimes we can be so prayerful that we be led astray and become very spiritual and very religious, but not very Christ-like. Here we're reminded, as a Christian, we will face battles. As a Christian, we will face challenges. As a Christian, there may be times when we need to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. So when we are persecuted for our faith, when we suffer for our faith, we will be blessed by God. Our Lord Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who are not persecuted. No, if you are a Christian, expect to suffer for his name's sake. Either at work or at school or at uni or in the way you conduct business or in the way you walk through life or in the way you serve God. In our serving God, sometimes we can be misunderstood. Sometimes we can be falsely accused. And yet, because our service is out of love for God and not for the patting of the back by someone else, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. If there are no battles, there are no victories. Right? If you want to have a victory, you must first engage in battle. If there are no trials and testings, there can be no triumph. You can only have a triumph when you have something to overcome. Verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we look towards eternity, the things upon the face of this earth, they do not grab us, capture us, draw us to it like before. If our heart is still holding on to the things of this world, the ways of this world, then we do not have enough of a grasp of who Jesus Christ really is. Because in Paul's eyes, once you see the eternal weight of God's glory, then all the troubles, all the suffering, all the persecution, all the hardship of this world counts little. They are momentary and light afflictions, Paul says. Do you hear that? The troubles of this earth are light and they are momentary. They're not going to be temporary. They're not going to be permanent. They're going to be temporary. So be reassured, no matter how hard a time you're going through, trust God. Trust God. Yesterday, we had someone doing a devotion. I think it was Sam, who was talking about the parable of the talents. One was given 10 talents of gold, the other 5 talents. And Sam pointed out the fact that, and the master was away for a long, long time. They didn't know when the master will come back. But all they knew was the master will come back, and they held on to his word, and therefore they lived according to the expectation that they will see the master. And they wanted to be able to give a good account to the master. And so these two who waited patiently for the master, serving the master, even though the master was not seen, they had those wonderful words, "Welcome home, you good and faithful servant." May that be our heart's desire, that we serve God in such a way that on the last day when we see him, he will say, "Welcome home, you good and faithful servant." That's the greatest, greatest title we can ever have, a good and faithful servant of God. You know, when Paul was talking about all these troubles and afflictions, he was not talking in terms of theory or imaginary possibilities. When Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, he himself had gone through much, much hardship. You may have read in Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, that place where the people who believe in Jesus Christ was first known as Christians. Before that, Christians were known as followers of Christ. Christians were known as followers of the way. What does it say? It means to say that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to follow the ways of Christ. It was only at the church at Antioch in Pisidia, in modern-day Turkey, that the believers in Christ were known as Christians. There at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas and their team served the Lord and preached the word of God powerfully. But the Jews got stirred up. They were envious of them. And as a result, they were driven out of the city of Antioch. And where did they go? They went to the 150 km towards southeast to Iconium. Again, having arrived there, what did they do? They did not learn from the past. They did not learn that if you preach the gospel, you will suffer persecution. What did they do? They preached the gospel. And what happened? They again suffered persecution. And so they had to flee for their lives. They were stoning them. And so what did they do? They went east to Lystra. Have they learned their lesson? No, they did not lose heart. They did not lose heart. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we have life in Him. Troubles, afflictions, hardship, even being stoned to death, the pain of being stoned is nothing compared to the weight of the eternal glory that awaits the true believer. So what did they do? They saw a man that was crippled from birth, healed that man, worked a wonderful miracle. These people, instead of rejoicing in Christ, they ended up chasing Paul and stoning him. They thought that he was dead. They dragged him out of the city and left him for dead. The disciples came. Oh, Paul's still alive. Raise him up. Did Paul give up? No, he did not lose heart. Even though he was nearly killed, he continued to serve the Lord faithfully. He fought the good fight of faith. And so what did he do? Well, if Lystra doesn't want me, I'll go to the next town. He went to Derbe. And again, served the Lord there, powerfully preached the gospel with his whole team. And then he said, brothers, we left those guys in a hurry, those young Christians, we don't know what they're like. Let's go back. And he retraced his steps. From Derbe, he went to Lystra. From Lystra to Iconium. From Iconium back to Antioch. He went back to hostile territory. Why? Because he sees suffering, hardship on this earth as temporary and momentary afflictions. Why? Because his eyes were fixed on Jesus Christ. His faith was focused on the eternal weight of glory that awaits those who follow our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice with our brother Sean, just as the angels of heaven are rejoicing with us because of his confession of faith in before the presence of your people. And Lord, we ask that all of us here in this place, having heard the word of God, will rise up to the word of God. We will leave the past behind. And as from today, we will live our faith in Christ according to your word. We thank you for past glories. We thank you for past success. But today, Lord, we want to be made new in your word, in your spirit, in our faith in Christ. Lord, we rejoice in the hope of glory that awaits all who confess Christ. Give us the strength. Give us the determination. Give us the faith to walk according to your word. And we will leave all our past behind. Whatever we did, even up to yesterday, may we start afresh today. Live a new life of faith and commitment to our Savior, to our Lord, and to our God. And in His most precious name we pray. Amen.
invite you to stand this morning in His presence and in His light.